from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. When he says stick it in the fridge, he means it's going to be like stick your pillow in the fridge, because it's, or don't, because it's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast that's like a warm beverage of milk, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique, and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to both of those, like, how much is that? Is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15 year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing, everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe. I love my Helix Dusk Luxe. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Luxe, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Also want to thank Chris Posey, Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode, did the theme music. Scotty and Jennifer honor artwork. Jonathan Mann is on the lullabies. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter. That's the best place to catch me. Also, the listeners have their own Facebook group. I want to thank the moderators over there. Stacey, Lauren, Keith, Summer, Sarah, and Julie, and Jennifer. And let's get on with the show. Hey, you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do, or what I'm going to try to do, is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's stuff you're thinking about, thoughts, feelings that you're experiencing, physical sensations, events, scheduling, stuff in the future, the present, or the past, whatever's keeping you awake, even if it's not one of those things. I'd like to take your mind off of it, and the way I'm going to do it, what I mean when I say a safe place is, one, you're welcome here. Like, hang your hat. You don't got a hat. You don't need a hat. You don't need to hang a hat. Yeah, but we have, if we had, like, this, I guess I do it with creaky dulcet tones instead of a giant hearth. But we got a giant hearth. I feel like a giant hearth. I guess I'm the hearth. I guess I'm trying to put out warm air, warm, hot air most of the time. Crackling. I mean, okay, we'll get to a hearth in a second. That'll be a little bit. Yeah, that's a good intro. So I send my voice across the deep dark night. I use a lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, which you just got a little taste of there. Pointless meanders, taking my time, getting mixed up, extra words, extra pauses, all at one, all one low price right now, free. And, it doesn't work for everybody. If you're new, welcome. That's what I mean. Like, I could be at the end. Like, if we were an inn with a giant hearth, one, we don't charge. It's one big common room with space for everybody. We have a wizard who provides a mystical, endless space, comfortable space. As much as you want, you're entitled to whatever space you need. And because of the wizard, magic mirror type thing, I can greet people at the door. I can be the essence of a hearth. I can be the sense of, comfort foods like savory stews and baking things. And then I'll be there. That's what you say. Before I go on a tangent, I'm already on a tangent. If you're new here, welcome. It's a podcast to take your mind off whatever is keeping you awake, to keep you company, to distract you, to be your boyfriend in the deep dark night. And what that means is you don't got to listen, but you're under no pressure to fall asleep, like having a friend on the phone. I'll be here till you fall asleep and it gets disconnected or whatever. And I just say, hey, are you awake? Hey, are you awake? And then I say, you won't say anything. And then I won't hang up, though, because then I know that, like, if back in the days of telephones, a lot of you didn't have to deal with this, that would be a dilemma. If you hang up, then the person gets, I don't know what they call that, it's not a busy signal, some other signal they called it, the phone would start making a friggin' noise. So in the IRL, I guess it wasn't the IRL version of this podcast, but I was a big phone talker. I guess until I discovered a couple things, other things, I could talk on the phone to people, and it probably was pretty boring and tangent filled, and it maybe helped them. It didn't help everybody fall asleep, but get ready for sleep. And so I'll be here. I guess that was my point. This is for the new people. Sorry, new people. So you don't need to listen to me. but you shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. This is supposed to help you fall asleep, but there's really no new way to do it. Structurally for the show, let me just give you that. First 5 or 6 minutes are business. That's how you keep a podcast free. It's like a combination of sponsors and listener support. And if you're new, it's not that important. If you're a regular listener, you know, before you open the fridge tomorrow, say, what were the sponsors last night on that Sleep With Me? And then if you need to re-listen or check our show notes, it'll be there. But that's how we keep the show free and over 550 archived episodes. But if you're new, this stuff's not important. I want you to feel welcome. But if you're really new and you listen to the first part, you might be like, what is it like? Well, the shows are an hour. That represents a small portion. What we're doing now represents a larger portion, but still not the majority of the show, which is our introduction. Now, normally introduction is like, hey, how you doing? This is a podcast about, stock markets, and let's start talking about today's stocks. Yeah, but my intro is because it's a sleep podcast, and I have to demonstrate it disqualifies me. This is like not the art of conversation. It's the art of, it's tangentially related to the art of conversation, but I don't even know how to describe it without using like 10,000 words. I mean, I guess it would be like, well, this is a Hearthcast. Let me explain it. So I guess I could explain it that way. But so there's intros. They're about 12 to 15 minutes long. And the reason for that is, like, some people fall asleep during the intros. Some people get ready for bed during the intros. I think for a lot of listeners, it's just like a comfortable blanket. It says, hey, oh, this is the Sleep With Me podcast. It's a familiar, but every episode, Scoots puts a lot of work into it. So every episode's a little bit different. And every episode, I go out of my way to welcome the new people because they know if you came here, you said, what the heck is it? What is this? And you still might be like, what is it? And that's fine. That's a normal reaction. What is this dude talking about? Why does he have creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders? So you like if you decide you don't want the intros, the timestamp for the story part is in there, or the estimated timestamp. Then there's a story part of the show or something like that. I don't know if tonight will be a personal anecdote. I have to look up what anecdote means first. Or maybe a reimagining. I don't know. So that'll be like, and that's like 40 minutes or so. That's the main portion of the podcast. And then there's some thank yous at the end. And that's the thing. The podcast is here for you. To keep you distracted but not overly engaged. So you can fall asleep at any point. Just like this inn. I'm the hearth here. Here's the things about a hearth. Okay, first of all, I'm not a vocabulary expert. So is a hearth like a fireplace at an inn? Like I'm thinking of like, you know, one of those inns you'd stop at when you're on an adventure. But this is like the inn you're like in between. Your adventure is like going to grandmother's house, you know, across, and you say, well, we got to stop at this inn. They have the best stew. And they're really well known for their hearth. They have the best hearth in all the land. And I say, well, thank you. We're very proud of our hearth here. Unfortunately, they named a video game Hearthstone, so I don't know what to call this place. We got a nice hearth here. And here's the things about hearth. It makes a nice crackling sound, so you got your sound going. So you can close your eyes, you can feel the heat on your face, you could listen to the crackle of the hearth, the lull. Also because of the wizard, all of the conversation is a lull of conversation. You know, it's garbled. If you're like me and you're on a sliding scale therapist deal, you get used to those sound machines. There's a lull of conversation in... So you could do it that way, or you could look into the hearth and you get to watch the crackling and the changing of the wood, you know, and the embering and the dancing and the colors. You say, well, is that a purple? Is that a blue? Look at that orange. And, you know, you get to relax and zone out and drift away. Or maybe you just enjoy the hum of the room or the scent of the hearth, That was a fish song. That was what Scent of a Mule was originally called. Scent of a Hearth, maybe not. And you could think, you know, you could just enjoy the buzz of the room, whatever it is. That's this podcast is, if it wasn't in, that would be it. Like, I guess, like, everybody would just be chilling and kick it. You could kick it. I don't know. You could kick back. I don't think you could kick it at, like, but you could chill. I don't know what other people, like, I think chillaxing, that was on Superbad. I think that was, like, 10 or 15 years ago, but they chillaxed in Superbad. You know, whatever you want to do, within the rules of the heart, you know, respect the hearth. Rule number one, respect the hearth. How do you respect the hearth? You enjoy it, and you let others enjoy it. And all, you know, we have a wizard who takes care of the rest. You know, also cooks, you know, like a chef, like, well, they're cooks. They're bakers and we do have a candlestick maker. And if, you know, the podcast has got a fool for sure. No doubt about that. A little extra fool, you know, no fooling. There's a fool. Yeah. This podcast to put you to sleep. Welcome, by the way. So anyway, if you're new here, it is a little bit goofy. This podcast is different. It's a little silly. I have had trouble sleeping my entire life. And so I want to bring some levity to bedtime and say, like, this doesn't work for everybody. Obviously, you might say, Jesus, this grates on my nerves. I hear that. And I say, okay, it doesn't work for everybody. I hope it works for you. Give it a couple tries. That's what a lot of other people say. Thousands of people, actually. They say, Jesus, well, I tried it two times and then it started like a. First time I said, what in the heck? Second time I fell asleep. The third time I kept listening. And if you've gone and you've come back, welcome back. If this is your first time here, welcome. These are the kind of things I would say at the door of the inn. Welcome. I think Hearthome has probably been taken in some fantasy novel. Otherwise, they'd call it Hearthome. I forget what they called it with the inn in Dragonlance. Inn of the Fallen Leaves or something. The Dragonlance one. And that was in the... Autumn Twilight up in the tree. Inn of the Last Home. Is that, which one's that? Which, is that in, I'm getting my inns and my authors mixed up. Inn in the Middle of Nowhere. In the Middle of Nowhere. Hearth. So if I could figure out how to make a pun and, but anyway, this is a podcast, which is even so I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I'm glad you're here. And I work really hard, so give it a few tries, because I really hope, I really yearn, because you deserve a good night's sleep. So I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Hey, everybody. So it's time for another episode. It's time for a Tuesday episode. And it was just communicating with someone online about a podcast. About a podcast they make about public transit, and I said, okay, that's interesting. We used to have a series in here, maybe there's only one episode, Tales from the 51A, which was a bus I used to ride a lot here in the Bay Area. Still my regular bus route, but I'm trying to think how much, I tried to look in the archives before I started recording about if I've ever done a full episode about the Centro buses, those were the buses in Syracuse, New York, Centro. And my relationship with the Centro buses that ran in Syracuse, New York. And So I figured I'd just talk about it. I have very fond memory. I mean, I've always been someone that's loved public transportation, and not just from a political environmental standpoint, but that is an important aspect of it. But there's also, let's see, where do we start with this? I don't know. I just always feel like it's like I'm on more of an adventure, I guess, because it's less under your control, but it's like more passive. You can look out the window. I don't know. I guess we'll go into these earlier memories of why, like, I guess I have positive associations with public transit. And I lived in New York City. I probably didn't even use public transit as much as I should have when I lived in New York. Where we'll start, because I don't know if I've talked about all this. Well, we're not going to talk about it concisely, I guess, but all together at once. And I've never formally given public transit the rights it deserves, for this podcast, because without public transportation, this podcast would not exist. And maybe we won't even get to this. So we'll talk about that for a few minutes to start. And just as a sense of an encouragement for those of you that are either creating something or that are kind of in the beginning or pre-phase where you say, well, geez, I want to do this project, but I haven't been able to, or I haven't, and I realize this is a big leap, but I want to encourage you. And through my relating what the podcast owes to public transportation is a place to start. And I wanted to say up front that I realize that it might not be possible for everyone everywhere, because a lot of people might live somewhere where public transit isn't effective. But I think if you look into it, you'll quickly realize that there's a lot of places that it is. And so if you have a creative project that's on hold because of time, let's say you're in a relationship, you have a family and you have a day job. I mean, I know from having my daughter and having my job, and it's very hard. I mean, doing a podcast 3 times a week is pretty much, not a good idea, but even doing it once a week would be very, very difficult. So I can relate to that. And especially if you have but even if you're a single person, I know plenty of single people that don't have kids, that time is a complex thing. Let's put that aside. But if you could carve out commuting to your day job on public transit, here's a caveat. As long as there's only 2 switches, so that one portion of your commute is, ideally you have between 15 and 30 minutes in one thing, whether it be a bus or a train. It also depends on how packed it is, but even if it's on a packed train, you could be listening to something. So you could be, but to think about it and look into it, because especially if it involves writing or prepping or research or listening, or saying you're trying, let's say it's not something creative, say you're just trying to learn a new skill. You have that time, it's your own time, your family. It's a little bit of an independent time that you're carving out. And yes, it'll add some time to your commutes. And it'll add a new challenge. But I think, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but let me tell you by example. Now, in my situation, it was different because I had had a car that had died. This was well before the podcast started. And I also had a job, even when I had an older car. But even then, when I had a job, I had to commute just because of the way traffic is in the Bay Area. I had to go pretty far away, and to drive would take longer than taking the BART train, or it would be about even. It was I think for a long time, my door-to-door commute was about 1 hour and 30 minutes. So whether car or train and bus and bike, it was somewhere between 1 hour and 15 and an 1 hour and 30 minutes, and that would be BART. In a perfect world, it was BART and bike, and then if it was raining or something, it'd be a bus. And then once my daughter started going to school, it added an extra layer of getting her to school. But a lot of times we would just bike, and then, anyway, not important, or if I could walk. But so, So before the podcast started, I had been commuting from the East Bay around Oakland to Fremont for a long time for my job. And usually I'd be on the BART train. I had a 30-minute from when I got on to when I got off. The train ride was 30 minutes. And it was reverse commute, so I could sit down. Normally a train wasn't packed. It would be full, but I could usually sit in. For a long time, that was when I was writing. Like, so I was writing, like, shorts. I was writing something with two other people kind of for, like, a YouTube that we were going to produce, like, web comedy. And then I was writing kind of, like, trying to figure out, geez, could I write screenplays? I was writing some full-length stuff. And I think mostly on the train, I was doing the full-length stuff. And very similar to the podcast, so like, back then, like, I was trying to either write this one screenplay or rewrite it. I tried to write an hour on that a day. So 30 minutes, 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the afternoon. And then when we started the when I started writing the web comedy with these other guys, I don't know why I changed the rules, I think, a little bit. So then maybe I don't know how I was breaking in my writing time, but I was still trying to get like 5 hours of screenplay writing for myself done. And then writing this other stuff. And it wasn't always easy because you like this stuff is always work. It's not, there are fun moments when you're writing and stuff like that, but it's not always fun. And it's just something I learned that you just have to do. And I couldn't always be disciplined. And also this is when I was still out there drinking. So sometimes I'd be hungover too. But for the most part, when I was disciplined, my rule was when I sat, as soon as I sat down on the train, I would start writing. And then like, when I got up, I would stop writing and whatever that meant, like, ideally it was focused writing, but most of the time it wasn't always focused, or I was negotiating and saying, well, let's go two stops and I'll mess around on my phone. Or read the newspaper. But when it was really effective, it was like a muscle memory thing. As soon as you sit down, at least like when things were going well, I would know to start writing. And then at some point, and actually, like, have I talked about this on the podcast, I wonder, or just in interviews about the podcast? But this was actually like a... Well, so this will be a little bit more behind the scenes about the podcast, at least for this portion. So maybe not everybody knows this, but I'm going to try to talk really slow and lulling so that people don't need to listen either if they don't want to. But so so the idea for Sleep With Me I had a long time ago, like years before I started it. I won't dig too deep in that because it's kind of like one of those, there was never an aha moment like it was just like, oh, maybe I could do a podcast. It was more of like a developing idea. There was an aha moment that brought the podcast into light, which was just, I kept putting it on the back burner. And there was even one time I was really close to starting it at the end of a Game of Thrones season. Maybe season three or either two or three where I said, man, I could just talk about Game of Thrones for that bedtime story podcast. And I could just start right now. And then I would have, I think it was season three. Cause I said, well, that's 30 weeks or maybe it's 20 weeks. I said, that would give me almost a year of episodes if I had it once a week. But then I said no, and I think it wasn't a year and a half later maybe that I started the podcast. But so anyway, so I'd had the idea for a while, and I kept putting it on the back burner. And one of the reasons was my writing plate was full. I was trying to rewrite this one screenplay that I had hoped would become a writing sample, or that would be like good enough or bad enough that people would be like, you know, screenwriting is just not for you, or, well, maybe the next thing you write would be a writing sample. And I was kind of stuck, but I was kind of like, I decided very similar to this podcast, that I was going to see it through a certain number of rewrites. It just, at least I wasn't going to give up on this one story. And then I was writing something with two other people And also I had like my per, you know, because of my drinking, my personal life was in upheaval, especially around drinking. Not that that's super important, but it's kind of tangentially related. Like, because some of these things that didn't go well, were, like, I own that it was a big part of it was who me. So I was trying to write this thing with two other people, and we were trying to produce it ourselves, and we were having some creative differences about how we were going to produce it and whether we're going to do like acting it ourselves or hire, like try to get it, like try to do it super cheap or whatever. And we're having creative differences, but we're still writing and writing and rewriting. And then it still kept, we were kind of like in that like phase where it was like, we're rewriting instead of like producing it. And one of the guys ended up, it's so expensive to live in the Bay Area, and he has a family, that he decided to leave the Bay Area. And that kind of became, well, geez, what are we going to do now? Or we, like, if he was going to act in it, how are we going to rewrite it? Or, and like, I had gotten antsy, like, with the, like, after he left, it kind of threw off our balance between the three of us. And like, again, I wasn't fully the best person to be working with. And, but so at some point, I was like, I kind of drew a boundary, though. I said, well, if we're not going to start producing this and acting in it, or even like at least testing it, like I'm out. Like I can't keep working. Like I can't just keep writing, rewriting if we're not going to, if it's not going to be, if it's just going to be like these short scripts we're writing. Like if it's not going to be produced, even if it's poorly produced, I guess it was my thing. Like let's just make it and then, like through bad acting and bad directing, we'll figure out how to do it. And another person on the project was like, you know, they had the opposite view. And I basically, and I think I'd let, I think I'd set a date or whatever. I said, okay, if we're not working on it by this date, like I'm leave, like I'm not going to be, like I'm breaking up the band. I mean, basically. And this other person was like, they're like, no, like, let's get it done well. Like, I said, let's just really polish the writing and then we'll find, we'll either find money to do it or we'll find, like, I don't know. They were having a more, and that's a legitimate view, like, to be a much more professional version of what we were working on. And also part of it was like, because of like that I wasn't a good, like I wasn't a very good actor. I think the other two guys were a little bit better actors than me maybe, but that wasn't the main bone of contention, but whatever, like we were having creative differences and the guy that had moved away was kind of like, anyway, like it had come to a front and it come to a decision point. And actually the day the decision was made just happened to be that the trains were on strike, the BART trains. And because I took BART to work, it was really inconvenient. And to one of my workplaces, that was the furthest away, I was able to work from home one day. But then another one of my workplaces, I had to take a bus. And it was like a very long bus ride, like an hour, hour and a half or something. And everybody was taking it because of the trains were out. And I remember we were all texting when I was on this bus ride, and it wasn't a pleasant text. Like it was kind of like a breakup text. So like we're breaking, and we decided to go our separate ways. Like the three of us said, well, we're not sharing the same vision. This one person was no longer in the Bay Area. And one person was like, I'd rather make this like a really professional version. And I'd just rather, if that's not what you guys want, I'll just do it myself. To which I kind of said, okay, that's good. I like, just count me out then. Like, and like right when that happened, I said, okay, like, let's see, to bounce back. So I'm on the bus, but it, like to kind of bounce back. One of the successful things about writing together, I mean, I learned a lot of stuff, especially about like writing with two other people and then having to present stuff and it kind of getting a lot of feedback, not all of it positive. But the one thing I learned is like the dedication, like, because we had one night set a week that we met and we would meet on the weekend. And I also had set writing time. I guess it wasn't on the train. I don't know when I was writing for that project, but I was writing a certain amount every day for that project, which is kind of, for me, what I have to do, even with the podcast, write every single day. Otherwise, they just, like, then it becomes really hard to still, I don't know, it's just what works for me. And so I had all this time set aside for this YouTube, like, whatever, the short comedy, whatever we're working on. And, like, so I already had that time set aside. And at that moment, like, not moments after it ended, this part of me was like, why don't you start that sleep podcast? Some like, more knowledgeable, wise part of me. And I said, what do you mean? And then that part of me, still wise and knowledgeable, said, well, you have all this time set aside for this project. What if you just start working on the sleep podcast in the time you have like set aside for this project? You just start working on that sleep podcast. Otherwise, the time's going to close up, you know, with regular life stuff. And I was kind of like, who said that? I said, what? I said, what? And I said, yeah, just start making that sleep podcast. When should I start it? Tomorrow, like start working on it tomorrow. And I said, start working on that sleep podcast idea tomorrow. Yeah, well, I don't know how to make a podcast. Well, just start working on it. Start tomorrow. And I actually listened to that part of me. That was the aha moment for Sleep With Me, that all of Sleep With Me kind of like turns on. Was me saying, okay, let's do that. And then I started and I learned how to make the podcast. And I started, and you like episode 500 or whatever, 501 or 502, I talk a lot about, I think I talk about some of this, but then I learned like how to produce a podcast. And I learned how to like over 150, 200 episodes, how to kind of be on the mic and how to write the episodes. And then at some point in the first, I decided on 2 episodes a week. Then I decided on 3 episodes a week. I think somewhere around episode 100, I decided, okay, this is what works best. This, like, the schedule, like, the way the episodes are scheduled now and the styles of episodes. And so then after I started the podcast, this is kind of like cutting a shortcut, but then I was writing on the train. I still had that same 30-minute train ride. Though some days it was 15 minutes, but either way, it wasn't important. And in the mornings, I would still be writing screenplay and rewriting this screenplay. And then in the afternoons, I'd be writing for the podcast. And so when I first started the podcast, that's what I was doing. I was just writing in the afternoon. And that wasn't the best time because then it would be like more, like I'd be using my fresh writing time in the morning for working on the screenplay. And then in the afternoons, it would be a little bit more haggard and a little bit more distracted. And when I first started the podcast, like after like the first, like it, there was like 3 written episodes every single week for a little while. So I was having to write a lot and it wasn't working. And at some point, and I can remember where I was when I made this decision, I was like walking at work, I was on my lunch break. And I had rewritten the screenplay a few times, and it was, still wasn't there. And I didn't know if it was the story or my ability to write in this 3/4 prose or that I had rewritten it too much and I was too close to it. But I was like, okay, I'm stuck with this rewriting of this current story. And I had finished a rewrite, so, and I'd gotten some feedback on it, and it wasn't, it was like what I'm saying. It was like, okay, this isn't there. And it's kind of tough. There's some things missing here. And also, so anyway, like it was like, okay, this is going to take another big rewrite to get this anywhere. And this was probably like, I don't know if I was a year into the podcast or 2 years into the podcast, but it was like, okay, I have the sleep podcast and it's going pretty well. And this writing in the screenplay is kind of pulling my time and resources. My morning, all that morning writing time is going to the screenplay. You know, maybe I should set aside screenwriting. Not so much give up, but be like, okay, what's working and which form of storytelling? I don't know, not so much success, just like pooling, deciding where you're going to put your resources. I guess just like with retirement or budgeting or something like that. And that goes back to why to like write every day. And if you need to like take transit to find that time to do it, because that's the hardest thing about creative projects is a time resource. It's one of the more limited things we have. And energy kind of corresponds with that. But so at that point, and I remember that day too, I said, okay, still not ready to give up on that story. But as far as like screenwriting, I said, I was ready to just enter a new phase and say, let me just put all of my resources, creative and time resources into this podcast. And let's see how it goes. And maybe that was around 2 years, because at 2 years I said, okay, I'm going to try to keep making this podcast and make it sustainable. And then I guess when we get to 4 years, I'm going to make that decision again. But so I said, okay, let's go. Yeah, let's do that. And then, so then my writing became where I was writing in the morning and in the afternoon for the podcast. And then that changed this winter when I, like, because of the weather and because my daughter goes to school, it's a little bit out of the way. And mostly because the city car share, the company I was using, went out of business. I leased a car. And so that became a new phase for writing for me, which actually has worked out great because it just forced me to get up earlier and write. And then I have like, for me, it's worked a lot better. My writing is definitely better since then, because I have to sit in one place and I have much less distraction, and there's less excuses. Like if it's very clear, if I'm not going to be focused or I'm going to look at my phone or do something, then I'm choosing not to write. Or if you're on a train, maybe you don't have a seat, or maybe, you know, I don't know, like it's easier to make up excuses at least. So now I just get up and write for 30 minutes first thing in the morning. But so that, like I wrote, I don't know how many episodes I wrote on that BART train and then on the bus. So like when I take the bus, like it was in the bus. So here's what, as the podcast developed, because like over year 1, 2, 3 and into this year, other than when I leased this car, is that like I had to write for 30 minutes a day for the podcast. And then like whenever I was on the train, I was writing for the podcast, period. So if it was more than 30 minutes, that was great. And then if I'm on a bus, the rule was if I needed to write more because I was slacking or the episode wasn't quite there yet, like I would write on the bus. And if I wasn't writing on the bus, I was trying to check in with listeners, which I miss a lot, because that was my main time for social media and email, mostly Twitter and Facebook, was when I was on the bus. So it's like 15 or 20 minutes in the morning and at night. Now, when I'm in my car now, at least I get to listen to the podcast episode more. So, like, I can listen to episodes, like, 3 weeks before they come out a couple times extra. So, it's just like, again, time management. It's like, if I'm in the car, I mean, sometimes I'll listen to a podcast, but most of the time I'm listening to Sleep With Me, like, when the editors are done, to hear what their work is and see what they have coming up. So, is there anything else about the commuting with the podcast? I mean, I don't know. I mean, without my commute, it wouldn't be Asleep With Me. So it's funny because I can picture different spots, like using Twitter a lot on the bus, but also like different things. Like I remember like when I was trying to get the idea of like with Dan Harmon's kind of story circle and his story embryo and all his stuff, like playing with that, I remember being on the bus. Yeah, because I was so excited about testing out those ideas that I was actually writing more. Like, I was like, is any chance, like, when you're excited about writing, you gotta use that, like, because it's very rare, for me at least. So it'd be like, okay, like, whatever part, I'm like, you want to keep writing? Okay, let's write on the bus then. Like, let's just keep writing. So just riding that wave of excitement. So it's like a check-in about some of the stuff with the bus. in a train, but I want to take you back to my youth. So like us opening the show, like Syracuse has a bus system called Centro. And I know I talked about this on another episode, but I can't remember if it, like, maybe it ended up being like one of these two, like these episodes with two different layers. But I have like a couple memories of Centro. One, it was the bus I took to middle school and high school. Like, we took a city bus to school. And so that I didn't really, like, trying to think. I had to take the bus, I guess, because I'm the oldest. I don't think I had a car. I'm trying to think about my friend. But anyway, for a while I took the bus. But there's two particular situations that I took the bus as a kid that I really love. One is themed to summer, and one is themed to the holidays. And I think I've talked about the holiday one before. Let me talk about the summer one, because since it's the summertime, and I had a best friend, Pat T, and he was the friend that lived the closest to me as far as friends from school. And we went to the same school, I mean, with a couple switches all the way from kindergarten to high school. But this all took place in grammar school. So Pat's family was like always really, his mom and dad were great. And he had an older brother, Dan. That's where I played the greatest Dungeons and Dragons game ever, with him and his older brother, Dan, and his friends. And maybe it's because of Dan that, like, I could go over to Pat's house over summer break, because my mom had six kids, and Pat lived close enough that at some age, I guess maybe not in our age, because, I even as a parent feel a little bit more hyper V word, you know, but it was a distant walk. Maybe I don't think I would ride my bike though. Maybe somebody would drop me off. I don't know. But I would walk to Pat's house, and his parents both worked. So it'd usually be, maybe that was part of the reason. I think we were kids. So we'd play Nintendo. We would watch movies. Sometimes we played Dungeons and Dragons. And Pat had a younger brother, Chris. There was good woods by Pat's house, so we would go adventuring in the woods. And then there was a city park by his house, too. And Pat had, like, his older brother's friends and his friends from his neighborhood. So sometimes we'd all play, you know, play games in the park or whatever. But, you know, a summer, like, especially multiple summers in a row, you'd start to run low on things to do. And I don't know what age we were. I don't know if we're, like, maybe, like, it's frightening to think it's probably the same age my daughter is, but maybe fourth, fifth, sixth grade. But so at one point we got old enough and we got bored enough that we would talk our parents into letting us take the bus to downtown Syracuse, where there was a comic book shop and a model shop. And another amazing thing is that Pat's uncle, Tom, is a comic book, he writes comic books. And Captain Kidd, Tom and Mark, they're both well-known, Tom P. and Mark W. So check out their comic book, Captain Kidd. So there's like a cool connection. Is that Pat's brother? I don't know if it was at the time. I don't know when his uncle worked his way up, just like, and he's given me some invaluable advice, you know, working a day job and writing comics at night. But so Pat and I got to the age where we could take the bus downtown, and it was like a thrilling sense of freedom. And we would get it, we'd catch it, on the corner of Velasco and Glenwood. I'm almost positive is where we would catch the bus, which is right by Pat's house. And we would do, like, it'd be the summer, it'd probably be like in the early, late morning, like 10:30. And we did it a lot. And so what we'd do is, like, we'd go to the comic book shop, and maybe, I don't know if the comic book shop and the model shop were one store or they were next to each other. We probably couldn't do it too often because we never had, like, we had, I think we still had paper out, so we had a little bit of money. But, you know, we'd look through and probably buy, like, discounted comics and, you know, just spend a lot of time looking around. And then at the model shop, I remember I would always buy these miniature army men that people, some people would paint them. They were plastic. They weren't the metal ones or the die-cast ones. But then, you know, I still played with toys. So for me, it was like a new toy to play with. And they were much smaller than the ones, the green ones you would get at 99-cent stores. But then we would also go across the street or a couple blocks over was like a pizza shop with New York style pizza called Pavone's, which was also at the mall. You may have heard me talk about it in the past. And so we'd go over there and we'd have a slice of pizza for lunch. And then maybe we'd go back. Maybe we didn't buy anything. And we'd go back to the model shop and the comic book shop. And then at some point we would take the bus back home. Or maybe we'd get a ride, but I think either one. And we'd walk around a little bit. Like at that point, downtown Syracuse, this was the 80s. So I don't know. To a kid, it was like the coolest place in the world. I don't know. I think there's still some stores there. Maybe it was in the 90s that a lot, like Syracuse downtown, a lot of stores closed and stuff. So not that long after this. So we really witnessed. It was cool. And then at some point I learned about bus transfers, like not that long. Like once I got this taste of freedom, I was not letting it go. And then at some point, I don't know if this was the same summer or the next summer, some of our friends started to learn about this. And they said, wait, you guys can take the bus places? And so then once I learned about the bus transfers, I learned that we could go take the bus downtown. And not everybody was like me and Pat. Like, not everybody was into, like, just, like, looking around a comic book shop for, like, hours at a time. I think a couple of our friends, like, you know, had different tastes. So we would take the bus downtown, and that was where the transfer station was anyway. And I figured out, I was always into weird stuff like this. So I was like, okay, I think we could take the bus all the way out to the shopping malls that were like, not in the suburbs, but like in the, like the towns on the edge of the city. I don't know what you call those. They're not the suburbs. Maybe those are suburbs. Not that far away, but much too far to walk. So then we would take the bus. And I remember once we took it all the way out to this mall, Camillus Mall, which is not super far, but pretty far. And maybe my friends got irritated. Like, but I'm like, once I get into these kind of adventures, you know, I'm into it. And I guess another funny thing is like, you take the bus so far, you know, as the crow flies, it wasn't really that far. Or now being into like walking, it'd be like, it'd probably be like a few hours of a walk, but so it got us all the way out there. And then we probably, by the time we got out there, I don't know if we had any money. Then we probably had to be like, okay, the next, but like, and that's when you like relied on not phone apps, but the bus schedule. And then it was probably, that would probably be like a bit of a buzzkill, like taking the bus all the way back into the city, then transferring again. But I assume we did it. I don't remember the bus ride home. So maybe everybody was, but we took that bus all the way out to Camillus Mall, which is very, very far for some young kids. Probably didn't have permission. So that might have been our last bus trip. And it was probably the last. And I was telling the other guys, I'm like, can you imagine, like, because there was also out there was like the mini putt-putt golf, which, again, we probably didn't have money for that. There was also this store. Like the one store, I think it was a bookstore, but one of the few stores in Syracuse that had like computer games. So like a different variety, because I don't know what you had at the mall to buy computer games at back then. But this bookstore, I think it was a bookstore, maybe it was an electronics store. It was across the street from, so I had big plans, but I don't think we ever did that again. Maybe just because it was a little bit too much. But, you know, when you're in, what's weird, retelling the story is like, Like, while the memory seems distant, the essence of the experience is right there. Like, you can kind of see the streets and imagine the adventure part. So, you know, get adventuring. That's one thing. And then my final thing, like, I think I've shared this before, but my most cherished memory, one of my most cherished memories from childhood is that in the day after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving, buses were free. And I'm sure, like, my mom had a lot going on. And again, her and my dad had six kids. And so on the day after Thanksgiving, my dad, and this wasn't a long-standing tradition, but I think for 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years, he would take me, my brother Carl, my sister Sheila, maybe my brother Ted, like anyone that was old enough, that was out of diapers, I guess, and could walk, we would take the bus downtown. And this was like early, maybe, yeah, this was the 80s. And this was when downtown Syracuse still had two department stores. So before the real rise of malls. And we would take it. So this is when my love of the bus truly began. Because we'd get on the bus, it was free. And it would be like this after, you know, like the Sunday after, the Friday after Thanksgiving. So it'd be like, I don't think in Syracuse there'd be snow or anything. But it'd be very busy. I mean, this was like, so we'd go to these, we'd take it downtown. We'd go to these two shopping, these department stores. I think in Syracuse you had like Sibley's and something else. And there was actually even a sky bridge that connected the two of them, I believe, over the main street in downtown Syracuse. And so we would go to the two stores and we would look at stuff and Sibley's, I believe, but I'm not positive which one, but one of them had a Santa Claus, and it was like, you know, that was the day they premiered all their decorations, and they would have a big, you know, in the toy section. One, first of all, whoever bought toys in a department store, like, I always wondered that even as a kid, because I knew none of our presents were coming from there, but it was a good way to get people in there. And I can remember, like, seeing Santa Claus, and then they had a cafe, and we would get to go to the cafe afterwards and get dessert. And I mean, for people with six kids, like, this is a bit like, I mean, this is, like, groundbreaking. Like, we get to order something off a menu, and maybe we only ate there once, but I remember just feeling like maybe we got hot chocolate, and I remember getting, like, a Belgian waffle. I don't know if it came with ice cream or I just ordered a Belgian waffle and it had whipped cream and sprinkles on it. And I felt like the cat's pajamas. And like, it just felt really cool. And then one time my cousin Phil came with us. And I can remember that because I felt like this might've been our second or third year doing it. And we started to think like, what else can we get out of Dad? Like, we never get him out of the house like this. And we're on this adventure. And so Syracuse had this science museum. Now they have a bigger one called Most, but at the time this was just like a small one. And maybe you would go there for school, but like a lot of times, I don't think I'd been there, but it was like just the cool place that all the kids at school would talk about. Oh, we went to that museum. You could, you know, they had like a shadow projector, like where it took your picture and kept your shadow. And, you know, sand drawing, and you could shake your own, you know, different illusions, science-based illusions. Probably had a Tesla coil, obviously. It had a Moonlander video game that's free if you waited in line where you tried to land on the moon. And I can't remember what it was called, but, like, I remember we talked my dad into going there, and you had to pay to get in. So I can remember, like, being, like, we asked my dad, like, we were probably, like, no, one of you guys ask, no, we're trying to get each other, be like, hey, Dad, what do you think about stopping at that site? You know, we got a couple hours here. So I remember going there, and that was so, holy mackerel, that was thrilling. And getting to do all the science-based stuff, and see the Tesla coil, get our... you know, it was just really fun stuff, but it was just so cool. It's just, to me, taking transits always felt like an adventure, even now. I mean, the BART, a little bit less so, because the BART's more utilitarian, you know, because it just goes to a few places. I think one of the keys about transit is that you have to, like, there has to be an element where you're like, oh, wait, am I on the right train? Am I on the right bus? Oh, boy. Like a disorientation to that level. And then for me, especially after living in New York City, like moving from Syracuse to New York and getting exposed to like wider diversity of cultures and stuff, and languages, and just the rhythm of life in a city, just added something to it. And then in New York, like people selling batteries and people performing music and all other random stuff like what goes on in New York City. And then you come to the Bay Area, like bus in the Bay Area, like no offense to the trains, but kind of buses is where it's at in the Bay Area, where they kind of like real vibrancy takes place. Because again, like, I don't know, the BART is this weird conglomeration of like a subway and a commuter rail. And I mean, I think like, it's just a little bit different. You know, I think you know what I'm saying. If you do, oh, by the way, BART's like kind of like our train, like, I think you understand, like, it's not that important. And then when I lived in LA, I really didn't get a lot of public transit. But from what I understand, like in the last like 10 years, their public transit has really, really improved. And I was just listening to the episode of Doughboys where Nick Wagger was talking about taking the bus and then not feeling good. And then he got off the bus and walked for 5 hours, but it wasn't the bus's fault. So I think like what I would like to put on my list of things to do adventure-wise is go to LA and use the subway, like the metro and the bus system there. And now with phones, like even taking buses, it's like a much greater convenience. I mean, sometimes the buses here, they're supposed to have GPSs on them. Somehow the GPSs do get turned off or deactivated sometimes. And I don't know if that's like a general decision, like when the buses are running so late, or like individual decision. I think I asked someone and they said, no, it has to be, or maybe some of them are just malfunctioning. But yeah, I guess that's it. Like that's just some of my love of bus and transit. And I guess how the podcast kind of relies on it too. Thanks and good night. Hey, I want to thank everybody on Twitter. I want to thank Calliope, Debbie M, and Kelly P. Thanks and good night. Aaron L to the M, Squanchy, and Not Alone Podcast. Thanks and good night. I want to thank Stephanie G, Sarah M, and Chris D. Thanks and good night. Thanks and good night to Sally W, to Andrea B, and to our good friend over at Blind Alive Podcast. Thanks and good night. I want to say thanks tonight to Rachel W, to Carrie J to the N, to Breda A, thanks and good night, Thorn. I want to say thanks and good night to Amanda, Chrysanthi, your good friend, White Willow. Thanks and good night. Thank you and good night, Lauren S. Thanks and good night, Ryan H. Thank you and good night, Polly. That one, Polly. Thanks and good night, Lori S. And our buddy Harold and the rest of that crew over there. Thanks and good night, Alexandra S. to the Z to the E. Thank you and good night, Jonathan Mann and Jonathan's mom. Thanks and good night. Thank you. Soccer Mom Sid, thanks and good night. Rich A, thank you and good night. Nug from Illusionoid, thanks and good night. Vanessa from Nocturne, thank you and good night. Garbage Bear, thank you and good night. Sarah M, thanks and good night. Jen with two N's, thank you and good night. Jennifer L, thank you and good night. Texas back. Thanks and good night. Swear Trek. Thanks and good night. Whale Tail. Thank you and good night. Olivia with an A. Thank you and good night. Nikki. Penn. Thanks and good night. Ricky. Thanks and good night. Jelly Sock. Thanks and good night. Sam B. Thank you and good night. Lizzie with two S's and an E. Thank you and good night. Chanel number 45, Monica, thank you and good night. Aaron, Planetary Goth, and 5 Seconds of Summer, thanks and good night. Crew over at Castbox FM, thanks and good night. Elizabeth S., absolutely, thank you and good night. Let Me Breathe, thank you and good night. Nicole S., thank you and good night. Good night and thanks to Tristy, Melanie W., Mike D., what's up, thanks and good night. Beverly, thank you and good night. Julie D., thanks and good night. Amy, thanks and good night. Ruben the Beast, thanks and good night. Sarah K., thank you and good night. Bear Trap, thanks. Bear Trap Fitness, thanks and good night. Kristen, thanks and good night. Who dreamed it? Thank you and good night. Harvey, thank you and good night. Jen, thanks and good night. Jill, thank you and good night. Mary Beth, thank you and good night. Alexis Q, thanks and good night. Rachel, thank you and good night. Carolyn, thanks and good night. Jim M, thanks and good night. Nadia, thanks and good night. Kim J to the end, thank you and good night. Am Balloons, thank you and good night. Dana, thank you and good night. Ben W, artist, thanks and good night. Avarant, thanks and good night. Not Very Raven, thanks and good night. Sass, thanks and good night. MKP, thank you and good night. Virginia P, thanks and good night. Double N Jen, another Double N Jen, thanks and good night. Sam H, thank you and good night. Recession Mark, thanks. Glenn M, thanks. Elizabeth H, thank you. Jason with a Y to the B, thanks and good night. Doran K. Stew, thanks and good night. Tulip, thank you and good night. And that's it. Thanks and good night. Thanks, everybody. Sleep well. All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar. If you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's 4 different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version 2. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this, and then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out, I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Fair with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out February 25th. Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Fair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press, and we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too, in summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do. And those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.